From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Abigail Childs. It's Wednesday, September 21st. Here are today's headlines.
Officials in Vermont's largest city approved permits for three cannabis shops this week, but some city councilors say more regulations might be needed. One of the proposed stores will be nearly a half mile from an elementary school, greater than the 500-foot buffer required by the state. But Councilor Mark Barlow says the city might want to consider more stringent rules.
You know, we haven't, as a community, really had the conversation about any additional ordinance that we may want to shape around the cannabis control in the city.
Burlington requires cannabis shops to receive local approval in addition to a state license. Only one of the three shops approved on Monday has its state permit so far. Vermont's recreational cannabis market is set to open on October 1st. So far, the State Cannabis Control Board has issued a total of three retail licenses.
Vermont is the third easiest place to vote in the country, according to a national nonpartisan study released this week. The 2022 Cost of Voting Index ranked all 50 states based on 10 categories, including polling hours, early voting access, and registration procedures. The study gave extra weight to mail-in voting. Vermont jumped up from 23rd place after the legislature adopted a statewide vote-by-mail system. Only Oregon and Washington were ranked higher than Vermont in the study. Meanwhile, New Hampshire scored dead last, behind Arkansas and Mississippi. That's largely because the Granite State has failed to keep pace with reforms like online voter registration, no-excuse absentee voting, and automatic voter registration, according to the study's authors.
Nearly 5 months after a controversial presentation at the University of Vermont, school officials are planning to meet with members of state-recognized tribes. In April, an event at UVM featured representatives of Odinak First Nation, who questioned the legitimacy of Vermont's state-recognized tribes. Several speakers said members of those tribes are self-identifying as Abenaki. Tribe leaders and allies have rejected those allegations, and now the Vermont Commission on Native American Affairs has sent a letter to UVM officials asking for a dialogue. UVM President Suresh Garamella responded to the letter on Monday, saying he would schedule a meeting soon and said he would, quote, look forward to the conversation.
A 25-year-old who allegedly shot a fellow hunter earlier this month now faces two felony charges, including aggravated assault. The Vermont Warden Service issued the charges on Tuesday against Alex Gaudette. He also faces a misdemeanor charge of reckless endangerment. According to the Fish and Wildlife Department, James Cameron, the hunter who was shot, is hospitalized in stable condition. The department, in a press release earlier this month, said Gaudette claimed he mistook Cameron for a bear. Neither person was wearing blaze orange at the time of the shooting, the department said. Gaudette is scheduled to appear in court later this week. He faces up to 15 years in jail and a $10,000 fine. He could also lose his hunting license for 5 years.
Coming up, why the rollout of retail cannabis is likely to be slow. More after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
As we heard earlier, Vermont's new retail cannabis marketplace is set to open soon, but it's not going to happen with a lot of fanfare. Instead, retail stores will gradually open across the state over the next few months.
Our colleague Bob Kinzel has been following the development of the cannabis marketplace, and he spoke with Morning Edition host Mitch Wertlieb about what to expect when retail stores open on October 1st.
You know, some people thought that the opening of Vermont's new cannabis marketplace would be this huge event, dozens of stores opening for business and selling a variety of products, but that is not the way this is going to unfold. What will the situation be once the law goes into effect on October 1st?
Well, Mitch, it's going to be much more gradual than I think many people thought it was going to be. And the basic reason is because it's a huge job to build all aspects of the state's cannabis industry in a relatively short period of time. I mean, think about it. You need growers, both indoors and outdoors. You need testing facilities for all the cannabis that's grown. You need manufacturing companies to create a wide variety of cannabis products. And you need retail stores to sell these products. And any business that's involved in any part of this process needs to be licensed by the state's Cannabis Control Board. And that process takes a lot of staff and a lot of time. James Pepper is the board's chairman.
There is no way to flip a switch and have a whole new industry come online overnight. Really, you know, we have 20 retail applications in. Some of them are in good shape.
And James Pepper told me, Mitch, that he's studied the rollout of retail marketplaces throughout the country and that Vermont's phased-in approach is very similar to the experience of virtually all of the other states.
To think that, you know, this thing is going to start seamlessly is probably a misconception. However, these are all solvable problems, and they do work themselves out over time.
So, Mitch, the reality is that between 5 and 10 retail stores will be ready to open on October 1st, and then more will open for business in the coming weeks and months.
There's another issue here, Bob, because despite the legalization of a retail marketplace in Vermont starting October 1, there is still a federal prohibition for buying and selling cannabis. Has that situation had an impact on the development of the state's new cannabis industry at all?
Mitch, it really has. Because of that federal prohibition, every component, and I mean every component of Vermont's new cannabis industry, has to take place within the state's borders. Pepper says this situation has created some major challenges.
We can't just ship samples of cannabis across state lines for testing or for product manufacturing. And then on the other side, we can't import cannabis that was grown in New York or Massachusetts to meet this early demand. And so it just creates these kind of special challenges that are somewhat unique to the cannabis world.
So this means if one segment of the cannabis industry gets overwhelmed, let's say the testing facilities, then this bottleneck will affect the entire marketplace.
What about the availability, Bob, of various cannabis products? I mean, the Cannabis Control Board has licensed a lot of small growers in the state. Will the small cultivators be able to meet the initial demand, though, when the stores do open up this fall?
You know, Mitch, this is really interesting because the launch date of the retail marketplace, which is October 1st, doesn't really line up with the fall harvest schedule for outdoor growers. Now, the Cannabis Control Board was expecting that about half of the cultivators would be outdoor growers and roughly half would be indoor growers. But that's not the way it's turned out. There are about twice as many outdoor licenses as there are indoor licenses. Now, why does this make any difference? Because James Pepper says most of the outdoor growers are not expected to harvest their crops until at least the middle of October.
You can tell that the legislature did not consult the Farmers' Almanac before they created the cannabis timeline. All of these outdoor cultivators that we've licensed probably are not going to have harvested, and if they've harvested, they won't have dried or processed or packaged or labeled or tested their product.
So the indoor growers will have to supply almost all of the cannabis for the initial weeks and months, and because of that federal prohibition, stores can't bring cannabis in from out of state if there are any supply issues.
I am wondering, though, Bob, does James Pepper see any advantages to having the retail cannabis marketplace open on this more gradual basis? Does he feel that there are some benefits to that kind of approach?
He definitely does, Mitch. The Cannabis Control Board has only had its full-time licensing staff members in place for a couple of months. And remember, every application for every segment of the cannabis industry has to be reviewed and licensed by the state.
It's very helpful for our inspectors to start slowly and to really make sure that the places that we're licensing have the security in place, have the cash management protocols in place, you know, have their systems worked out, and not to rush.
And Pepper says this is very important because he feels Vermont has one chance to get it right. And he recognizes that some folks don't support this retail marketplace approach and might try to change it if any serious problems do develop.
Because if we stumble in those areas, then there might be some pressure to change the way this market looks. We can anticipate the shaky rollout from a just supply and demand perspective, but we're not going to sacrifice consumer safety or public safety in order to kind of, you know, meet any of these, what really were arbitrary deadlines.
So, Mitch, there's a lot at stake with this rollout, and it's going to be gradual, and Pepper is hoping that it will be successful.
So it starts slowly, hope for success. What's your best guess, though, of when Vermont's new retail cannabis marketplace will be fully operational?
Mitch, you know, it's going to take a little while. Over the next few months, more and more retail stores will be licensed by the state. The outdoor growers will have their cannabis harvested and processed. Other components of the industry will have an opportunity to come online. So I would think sometime this winter, the marketplace will begin to function the way that people hope that it will.
Vermont Public senior political correspondent Bob Kinzel, as always, thank you so much, Bob.
My pleasure, Mitch.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors, Howard Weiss Tisman, and Elodie Reed.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Abigail Giles.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.